This is the Agile Thoughts Podcast, and I'm Lance Kine.
Hi, I'm Mishkin Bertigue. I'm the co-founder, CEO, and chief scientist at maxgood.work. I'm also a longtime Agile coach, trainer, and consultant, and I really care about making the world of work a better place, both in terms of creating awesome business results and in terms of making work environments better for people. It's why I got involved in this stuff in the first place.
This is a continuing episode of a series about Max Good.
Yeah, so to clarify, like, one of our early pilot projects was with a small staffing agency. And the problem that they had is the founder of the staffing agency just really had no time to support all her internal staff and the constant new people that she was bringing on board. So we configured Max Good to have her personality and uploaded a ton of her knowledge and content and material that was all part of her onboarding program and FAQs and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And then she would bring new people on and also the people she already had. And they would be able to access this Phyllis avatar instead of bugging the business owner, right? To allow her to scale further, right?
Yeah.
So yeah, it's a force multiplier. We have people using it in a lot of different industries, but our focus and our expertise and our kind of foundational content is really in the agile space. We've got someone who's using it, who's a legal coach in Zambia. We've got some people using it as real estate coaches, right? And I just had a meeting with someone who wants to use it as like a private equity investment coach. Like, there's all, like, it really depends though. So who uses it then are people who have a particular way of working and often a kind of reputation or a personality and who have a body of knowledge or a system that can be replicated into the Max Good platform. And then they're the ones who are our customers, and then they in turn onboard their own customers onto the platform, but we don't currently charge anything for that. It's purely a B2B2C model where they decide on their business model. You know, we've got another trainer, for example, who just rotates people through very quickly, and they only have their clients only have access during an actual training session. It's not a subscription or anything like that. It's just part of the cost of the training. And that's it. So there's a huge amount of flexibility in terms of how an agile coach or a consultant or a manager would use the system.
Yeah, I want to appreciate I tried out Max Good and went through his I get onboarded at Max Good, and it was really interesting. I never seen that kind of system, so it got to know me. It got to know about my goals and what my role is, and so it was really cool. It was like, you know, it's like meeting somebody else, and they're having a conversation about getting to know you, and then it ends with more of a general prompt where you can now start your conversation. And this is all opposed to, or all different from, say, ChatGPT, which is just like, you know, a text box, and you have to build the relationship that you want to build. So Max Good kind of guides you along into the type of relationship building you would have with like another coach who's going to mentor you.
That's right. Yeah. So, and this is all based on kind of these triggers. So one obvious trigger is, as a coach, when you have a new client, you want to get to know them. So Max Good, likewise, has a get to know you trigger, and it has a conversation. It's not like a form you fill out, right? And so it's much more natural, and it gets you in the spirit of using the system. And then there's other triggers, and they're configurable, basically, right? Like, you know, if someone wants to complain about something as a coach, you might have a very particular approach to how you redirect someone who's complaining.
Okay.
And Max Good can replicate that approach and redirect it into a more productive conversation, for example.
Oh, I see.
So it's meant to have this ability to, again, be more proactive, like notice what's happening and have a stance. So people know often about what is a coaching stance or what is a training stance or facilitator stance. This has a fully configurable stance, and it can have multiple stances, and it can switch between them. And that onboarding experience is kind of like a little taste of what that's like.
Yeah, that's really cool. Tell us about how people are satisfied with Max Good. And do you have any idea about sustainability over a period of time?
Yeah. So, okay. First of all, this goes back to the competitive landscape, because ChatGPT, for example, is constantly innovating and moving. And we've had to constantly try and work to stay ahead of it. And it's not easy. We're a small startup. You know, like this is really interesting because, you know, back in, I think it was November, December, they introduced custom GPTs. So there's some aspects of custom GPTs that are similar to what we were doing. We're like, oh, crap. What do we do about this, right? How do we get better? How do we take this and build on it? So in terms of customer satisfaction, what's been really great is we have a little user community on WhatsApp, and we meet twice a week, Tuesdays and Fridays. And, you know, not everyone comes every time, of course, but we're just constantly engaging, getting feedback. And some of our best ideas for features and capabilities of the system have come from that engagement. There's one guy who's a consultant with a very large technology consulting firm. He's been one of our first most loyal users. He absolutely loves it. He uses it for all sorts of stuff, including for himself, right, to engage with how he does stuff for clients. And, you know, like, I can't tell you how many incredible ideas have come from him that we've been able to implement very quickly. Jira integration, like, obvious in a certain sense, but like, that wasn't me thinking of that. I used to hate Jira.
Yeah,
I don't anymore. But I was one of those people who's like, yeah, no, don't do Jira. But anyway, but now I'm like, well, actually, with a good coach that's like constantly aware of what a team is doing in Jira, that's driven by this expert background knowledge and the expertise of a particular coach, like, holy crap, that's really incredibly powerful. And this is an idea that came from one of our clients. So, and our clients are very enthusiastic about sharing it with other people. Satisfaction is good. I'm not going to sugarcoat it, though. We're a startup, and there are rough edges, and we have glitches every once in a while. And, you know, there's been a couple people who have said, yeah, you know what, this isn't for me anymore, or whatever. That's normal, but it's all part of the learning process. And of course, you know, we're very agile, so.
I want to appreciate a couple of things you said. So you brought up Jira, and I don't know many coaches who would ever say that would be ever their first choice for project planning, but it works well for large enterprises of people to have lots of data. And now when you start creating lots of data, now you can apply what you just spoke of as a machine learning to it, to monitor it constantly, kind of like what we do with, we being developers, what we would do with static code analysis. Every time you check in the code, you'd run through static code analysis. Well, now every time you put content into Jira, an AI ML can go look at it and maybe give you feedback right there on you know, what it sees.
Yeah, an amazing use case that we're doing a pilot with one company about right now is actually integrating specifically the AI supporting people to ensure that new tickets meet the definition of ready for that organization. And it's so powerful. It's a really, really simple use case. But instead of a human coach having to constantly monitor every single new ticket and set up meetings and blah, 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 Now you've got this automated system that knows what current best practices for definition of ready for that specific organization. And not just the organization, but that specific project, that specific team, that specific stakeholder, et cetera, and can then say immediately, hey, you know what? Let me help you get this ready properly. Because what you've submitted, it's not going to go well the way it is right now.
Yeah. Right?
And that kind of immediate coaching function is just incredibly powerful.
Yeah. It's a scalable way to get ahead of problems that a large community of people will be creating because they're new at something, some new change or something that they're trying to adapt to. Because I think about a lot of the kind of, let me connect a couple of things. So you were talking about how one of the problems with the agile coaching industry is maybe they're not being results oriented. And if you are results oriented, then you're using these information systems like Jira to produce a report out that has results. But then the problem is with a large organizational transformation is when you ask people to do something different and it's a large population of users, say a few hundred, getting them to follow the rules is really, you end up having a lot of dirty data. And so what you're describing to me is a nice way, like, again, using static code analysis as an example of shifting left your quality checks. Well, you can shift the left, the quality check into the Jira. When you click submit on Jira, I'm not sure exactly how it works, but anyways, whatever, it will be triggered once the data gets in Jira. So that's really cool.
Yeah. And I think one of the things that's nice about it is that it is much more like interacting with a human than interacting with a bureaucracy, right? If you go to Jira or any other kind of data system, and you have like a form that you have to fill out with 20 required fields, it feels terrible. Yeah. It's an awful experience.
Right.
But if you can fill in two or three fields and get started and know that you're going to be helped to figure out the rest of it, that's a completely different experience. It feels way less bureaucratic and way more assistive and engaging. Like, the barrier to actually doing stuff well is just lowered massively. Now, again, that's just one use case, but you can think of that in terms of all sorts of different situations. Like, if you have tickets in a system that are blocked, right? Like, hey, what do I do to overcome this blocked thing? And to have a coach immediately pipe in when you click that thing that says this is blocked, right?
Right.
And get advice immediately. What an incredible difference of experience. Instead of waiting for a phone call or an email or trying to schedule a meeting or waiting till the next retrospective with your scrum master or whatever, just to immediately have this amazing advice say, hey, I noticed that this task that you have is blocked. Here's some ideas. Can I help you work through it? Holy cats.
That is pretty awesome. I like it. So you've covered a couple of use cases. Is there any other one you'd like to mention before we move on to the next question?
Honestly, I have tons of use cases, but let's stick to that because I think those are all really good ones. They're a thing that I can say. Those, especially the agile related ones, are really, really strong. We have that foundational content in there that just makes it absolutely fantastic at helping out. I want to reiterate one more thing though, which is that an important part of this is continuity between the human coach and what's going on with the platform. And so, you know, like just taking that last example of a blocked ticket, it's actually really important that a human still can be involved if need be, right? So there's kind of two different modes that you can do this with Max Good. One mode is that Max Good is fully proactive. It just goes ahead and gives some advice or some options or whatever, and you can review it after the fact, right? So the coach can go into the system and see all the interactions and say, yeah, this was good. Uh-oh, I need to follow up on this one, right? there's a second mode, which is more an extra human in the loop intercept mode, which is that Max Good basically creates a response but checks with a human coach first. Oh. And the human coach says, yeah, go ahead, send that. It's good. Or, you know, I edit it a little bit and then send it. Or, no, don't send that. I got to have a conversation.
Oh, interesting. Right? Like,
so the human in the loop option is really important as well.
Hmm.
We're in this state with AI where, honestly, it's not fully 100% trustworthy yet.
Right. Yeah.
Right. And so it kind of depends on your risk tolerance, as a coach, right? And as an organization, do we want to just trust it and go for it and automate the crap out of all this stuff? Or do we want to keep the human in the loop, just make it much more efficient, right? Yeah. So it depends.
Yeah. That's a very curious space to be in, because we've never, how do I say it? Since, let's see, web searching, I think, kind of became popular in the late 90s. So like 1997, Alta Vista, and then Google. We never expected web searching to always be accurate, but we kind of expected it to be accurate enough. So we've always lived in that, you know, nobody says, oh, just because you found it in Google, that was the right answer. Nobody, I believe, and you know, most people don't have that impression that, you know, they have to look at it. They have to think about it. Maybe look at a couple options. And so it's more like shopping. It just made your experience easier to find information that you have to then think about. And now, at least how I use ChatGPT is, instead of using Google, now I use ChatGPT to kind of give me advice. And then if I need like contemporary information, then I have to use Google to look up contemporary information. But I always have to think about, I have to use my head and think about whether it's proper advice. And it does a good enough job, or maybe even a really great job sometimes, because I often ask it about topics I already know about, and then it enhances what I already know. I go, oh, right. Yeah, that's an aspect I didn't think about.
And that's the danger zone that a lot of people are concerned about, is what if you start asking it about things that you don't know about and it doesn't know about?
Are you new to Agile or Scrum? Looking for a fun way to pick up the knowledge to become an Agile team? Go get the novel, Agile Noir. It's a dramatic novel about a project manager who needs to transform his teams to become Agile because his life depends on it. This book is available in the US on Amazon, in India on Pathy.com, in China, it's available on my WeChat store. Links are in the show notes. Check out the show notes, because we have good things in there for you, the listener, to find so conveniently. Like, for example, the link to maxgood.work or other things that come up in the podcast. We put it in there as a link. And so it's super easy. And show notes, what are they? They show up in your podcast player for easy tapping. They are right there in your phone or in your computer, whatever device you're using that has the podcast player. If you downloaded this show as an MP3, go back to the website where you got it from, and there you will see the show notes. Next episode, more Michigan and Max Good.
Yeah, so I know quite a few people who are Scrum Masters or coaches who are at this stage. And by the way, this is when we're recording. Who knows? Like, 2 quarters from now, things could have changed completely. But at this stage, a lot of people in these positions are really worried about their jobs and whether or not they're good enough and producing good enough results to actually keep their jobs. I feel so bad for everyone who's in this space, because like we were saying earlier, there's this confluence of factors, and knowledge workers have never experienced this before. Knowledge workers have never experienced a situation where the whole basis of their value to an organization is potentially completely undermined